Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in.
Christy Lee, hello.
Juliet, excited to be with you today talking about something that I spend a lot of my week talking about.
Yes, who doesn't? I think yep. This is the thing that really concerns leaders so often, isn't it?
Today we're talking about having conversations with your team about underperformance. And I think it is. It's a big pain point for leaders because no one likes confrontation. Mm. No one wants to be the bad guy or mean. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we feel like when we're having an underperformance conversation. Yeah. And the reality is most of us would rather stick our head in the sand if we could.
Totally. And I think so often we go into these conversations underprepared because we don't like having them. So we put them off and then we're sort of like, oh, okay, we better do it. Mm. Or we ignore little things, and then the final little thing that is the straw that breaks the camel's back happens, and we sort of go, whoa, and we haven't thought it through. We're not clear about what we want to say. And the poor person's thinking, but I've been doing the same thing for the last few months and no one said anything.
That's exactly right. And that is one of the most common things that I see happen. And when that happens, we're reacting to this entire sum of consistent and, you know, often boundary stretching underperformance. But yep. All the employee sees is that we're reacting to the difference between yesterday and today.
Yes.
So they are shocked because we've tolerated this behavior for so long, or this performance for so long. And one of my favorite quotes is, you get what you demand and you encourage what you tolerate.
Yeah.
And that's our problem most of the time. We're tolerating behavior and therefore we're encouraging it. And our poor team members can't possibly know that they're doing the wrong thing when we haven't had a conversation.
I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, and I talk with teams all the time about the fact that culturally I think we're not good at this in Australia anyway.
Yeah.
It's a muscle we need to strengthen. We need to get better as leaders at having these conversations.
Mm.
So what are some of your key tips for how to do this properly?
Oh, it's so interesting. I think your point around being prepared is absolutely essential. These are not meetings that should happen on the fly, in the kitchen, without forethought. And I think for many leaders, even having some notes written down when they go into a meeting like this is really important, because what can really easily happen is you're not very comfortable with having the conversation and you therefore think you need to fill every pause with talking. You end up waffling and you actually lose the message when you do that, and you're not getting across the points you really need to get across, and it can really dilute the message that you're trying to deliver. So I definitely think being prepared and having some key notes written down about the fundamentals, what actually is the issue that we're discussing?
Yeah.
Why is it a problem?
Yeah. What's the impact it's having?
What's the impact it's having? Mm. What's the alternative? What are we actually wanting to see here? Mm. And being open, like having some ideas, but also being open to, you know, workshop some solutions around what's going to get us from A to B, from where we are now to where we want to be.
Mm.
And wanting to walk out of that meeting with a solution in place, not with just having aired your grievances, but with actually having a plan in place, I think is really important.
Well, I think that's what I love about this idea of having a plan. And I say to people, even if you just spend 30 seconds scribbling down what you need out of the meeting, what the objective of the meeting is,
yes,
then you have somewhere to head. And you won't, because I remember when the first team I ever had, I remember having a conversation with one of them to try and lift their performance. And I was so flustered, and they were sort of deflecting and throwing other people under the bus and what have you, that they walked out and I remember thinking, oh, hang on, I haven't mentioned that thing. But of course, by then it's too late.
Yeah.
I've mentioned one thing, but not the other stuff I wanted to talk about. And you can't then have another meeting. You're just looking confident as the leader. And the voice in your head just going, oh, my God, that was hopeless, you know. So I think you're right. Just planning it is so crucial. And I think it does. I see so often people do try to deflect us. So maybe it's us feeling nervous and uncomfortable, but maybe also it's them trying to deflect in different ways. The old but, or the I don't know what you're talking about, or, you know, but I do this all the time, or whatever.
Yeah.
Being able to, being really clear about what's gone on and having some examples we can talk to, being really objective so we can pull the conversation back in on track.
That's really important.
That gives us confidence as well to keep that conversation going because we're sort of getting through the stuff we need to.
I think it's important as well that when the conversation is going down a path where the employee is coming up with all the excuses under the sun and giving all their justifications, you can listen to those, but you don't have to go down all of those rabbit holes. And in fact, you shouldn't go down all of those rabbit holes.
Yeah.
You can listen and say, great, thanks for sharing, and bring it right back to where you need it to be and just remain in control. Don't feel like you need to follow the conversation pathway that the employee is trying to take.
Absolutely. I've been working with teams and some workshops I've been doing lately, and we've been practicing difficult conversations. Mm. One of the things I always say to leaders is don't be scared to take a break. If you can feel yourself getting a bit out of control, frustrated or angry or whatever, or that you're losing control of the conversation, don't be scared to say, oh, I just realized I've got to do something. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. And similarly, if somebody, you know, gets angry or starts crying, it's fine to say, I can see you feel really strongly about it. Here's some tissues. I'm going to make a tea. Or I can see you getting frustrated by this. Let's take 10 minutes, go for a bit of a walk, get some fresh air, but let's come back and finish this conversation.
Yep.
I think it's so important that we don't let their emotional response derail us. You know, we can absolutely acknowledge their emotions, and we should, but it doesn't have to stop the conversation. We can bring them back to the room. And I think it's fine to send people away or to take a break and not feel scared about it, as long as you come back to have the conversation.
Definitely, yeah. I think the other thing is when we're dealing with underperformance is about being really clear about what is the underperformance, what's causing it, what type of underperformance it is. Is it a skill-based underperformance? Is it a behavioural-based underperformance? And really being able to articulate that is crucial to be able to have the conversation. And this is where, and you'll hear me talk about this ad nauseum, having a position description with strong KPIs is your best friend when you have a performance issue, because you can just go straight back to that document and really clearly say, this is the part that isn't working. This is the KPI that's not being achieved. This is the behavioural expectation that's not being met.
Mm-hmm.
Having that documented just makes life so much easier, I think, when you're getting to the bottom of what's actually happening here. Because so often we can be frustrated with employees and not really be clear about why we're so frustrated.
I think that's so true. And I think I talk with teams a lot about having something like a team charter, where you just define, you know, how do we want to be with one another? Mm. And what are behaviours that are not acceptable?
Mm.
You know, and I often talk about them as above and below the line behaviours. And it means the whole team can hold their teammates accountable for behaviour stuff particularly. You know, we said we were going to behave like this. You're not doing that. You know, that's below the line, that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And it means that the onus isn't all on the leader. It means that everybody's had a discussion about how we want to be together in terms of behaviours.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can talk about that now.
Yeah, and teams that can get that language bedded in, whether it's above or below the line or whatever it is that you've created that's your internal language to help everyone hold each other accountable, it does take a lot of pressure off the leader. And people actually don't want to let their peers down fundamentally. Yeah. They're much happier to let them down. So it's actually more powerful, I think.
I think that's absolutely right, yeah. And when you can tie that to KPIs, I know I was working with a team a few years ago where one of their above-the-line behaviours was being really clear about what's expected of us. So, you know, perfect. here are the KPIs. So there's nobody feels threatened by them. Everyone's just really clear. That's what's expected.
People actually want KPIs, you know, and I think this is a misconception that KPIs are, you know, a little bit, you know, overbearing, but they're not. People want to know what's expected of them because it helps them then feel like they're achieving when they're ticking those boxes.
Well, that's it. How else do they know that they're achieving? How do you measure your progress when you've got nothing to measure it against? I think that's an important one. The other reaction I see sometimes is people just going, like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I feel like I'm doing my job. I don't understand. And again, I think it can be really valuable to give them some examples. But you can also, again, particularly if you feel like they're quite introverted, it's fine to say, why don't you go away and have a think about it? And let's meet first thing tomorrow morning and we'll have another chat.
Yeah.
You know, so giving them some time to actually take on board that you're serious about their underperformance. Or bad behavior or whatever it is, and that you're going to have this conversation, that so they need to get on board.
Yeah
It's not going to go away just because they deny that it's happened.
Exactly. And I think that's where it's so important to have the conversations early.
I do years ago I met a team who said their biggest conversations would happen the afternoon before they broke for Christmas. And some of them were about things that happened in, you know, June, July. But because their boss just couldn't have the conversation, they kept putting them off and putting them off. And then we'll get to this point and think, well, I don't have to see them for 3 weeks. So he would have all these conversations with people about stuff they've done that he didn't like.
Yeah.
Way back when no one can remember anything. It's all, you know, meaningless. But it ends this year on this terrible note.
It's the same as performance reviews. No one should get a shock in a performance review about something that's said. And I was working with a team just recently and they've had a resignation. And they've had a resignation because the performance review got delivered and it was not what the employee expected. And a great performer, an excellent performer, but because the manager had not had these conversations about missing the marks on goals throughout the year, and it had been 12 months since her last review, she was shocked, and she was a very driven and motivated professional. You can imagine the, you know, hit to her ego, really, and also to her ambition, that she was totally blindsided, thinking she's doing a great job, getting lots of praise, only to find out that there were things she was missing that had she known, she would have absolutely worked on. And now they've lost an awesome team member.
And she probably, her confidence probably took a dip. Because you think you're doing really well, and suddenly you get slapped. That's really sad.
And I think the other side effect we really have to be conscious of as a leader is our team are watching us, our team know who's performing and who's not performing. And when we fail to deal with an underperformer, it sets the tone. It sets the tone to and says to the rest of the team, that's acceptable, that you can get away with that. That, well, if they're not going to deal with this, then why will they deal with that? And it also diminishes their motivation, their engagement, their willingness to try that little bit harder, because why should they? Why should they pick up the slack?
That's exactly right. And why should I be working really hard when this person's not and there's no consequence? I think it also diminishes their respect for the leader. So it weakens your authority, your ability to influence as a leader when you're not role modeling what needs to happen. And, you know, and I know we talk about it, but getting the whole team in discuss underperformance, because you don't want to have the conversation with one person, is not the way to do it. If the whole team's in there and, well, thank you very much, so-and-so. Now we've just wasted another half an hour. We know it's about you. You know, but nobody, you're not going to acknowledge it and the boss is not going to say it. So we need, you're totally right, that role modelling of dealing with underperformance is so important. And dealing with it quickly, not letting it stagger on.
Absolutely. So I think we've touched on some important points. Deal with it quickly. Do not delay dealing with it. I think also being clear about the conversation, have your notes prepared, is the other thing, and being really clear about the solutions you're looking for. Be able to articulate what the actual performance issue is.
And be willing to be really effective about it.
And your team are watching, so set the tone.
And I think listen to the other person. So ask, it's fine to ask them what's going on. you know, this is not like you, or you've started really strongly, you know, what's happening here?
Mm.
And ask them for solutions too.
Yeah, because if they're going to do differently, solution, they're much more likely to actually participate in the solution if they feel like it's a solution they've got control of. So
Totally. Oh, see, I could talk about this because this is the stuff that keeps us awake at night, isn't it?
1,000%, yeah. And it's the bit that when we put it off becomes much bigger issues, and then we're dealing with a greater headache than we needed to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So we might touch on this in future episodes, I think, in different ways.
It's a juicy one. Yeah, we could unpack lots of different angles, I agree.
I think we could, and even just looking at different aspects of underperformance and how to deal with that might be useful too. So
definitely. Yep.
Great to talk, Christy Lee. I love it.
Excellent. Now, if you are listening and you want to add to the conversation about this, come and chat to us over in our Facebook group, Grow Your Influence, and the link will be in today's show notes.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.